youth hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose, you know it's Taz and Moose, ayy.
It is Taz and the Moose with you on this Monday morning as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A lot of football hour number one, talking about Elliott with the Cowboys, Antonio Brown with the Oakland Raiders. We kick off hour number two, Taz. Let's hit the campgrounds.
Time to go camping, boys and girls. Who better to go sit around the campfire and spitball some football, eat some pork beans, brisket, and throw back some cold ones than with Taz and the Moose? It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard talking smack since the day they was born. It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard talking smack since the day they was born.
Let's start in Florham Park, New Jersey, right, Taz, because Jet head coach Adam Gase, last preseason game for them, they took on the Atlanta Falcons. They lost inside linebacker Avery Williamson to a torn ACL. Here's their head coach Adam Gase talking about Williamson.
Just looking back on it, hindsight's 20/20. I wish I would have got him out of there a series earlier, but you know, I've talked with him, and you know, it's all me. You know, I'm the one that has to make that call and get him out of there, but you know, we didn't, and it's a shame because he was having a good camp.
Yeah, and he had a good year last year for the Jets, and he's fully guaranteed the $6.5 million that's coming his way, but he's got no guaranteed money coming his way after this season, which leads some to speculate that maybe he might be a guy that the Jets cut loose after this season, which is a shame because it happened in the end zone where a cornerback making a play hit his knee. His knee was in a prone position. We saw it bend awkwardly.
Yep.
Whenever you see that, you have a feel that it's a torn ACL. That is confirmed. It is a torn ACL. And he's done for the year.
Yeah, it is a shame. I'm with you, Moose. I feel horrible for the kid. I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, and he was doing really well this summer for sure for the Jets in camp. And, you know, it's just, you got to be smarter if you're Gase. I mean, you got to be smarter. With, you know, look, it's been a regular theme. We've seen that, you know, the starters really not playing much in these preseason games. You got to use your noggin, man. Yeah, I don't care if you're, you know, it don't matter. You're the head coach. You're responsible for these guys, and they're responsible for themselves. Because these players are going to go 150% every time, no matter if it's practice, preseason, when they know it's full go, especially in a preseason game. To us, it's preseason, whatever, we blow it off, meaning the football population, you know, fan base. But, you know, to these players, it's everything. These games are vital to either keep a job, get a job. You know, even if you're a star player, no one's dogging it. When you go halfway or three-quarter, that's how you get hurt. None of these guys are going halfway. They're going full speed. This guy blew his knee out, Williamson. It's horrible. And Gase should say it's on himself.
Yeah, and it is a trickle-down effect. Here is Gase talking about whether or not his star running back, Le'Veon Bell, will play.
I told him, I was like, we wanted to increase the reps last week. We're going to do the same thing this week where we just get him as game-ready as possible because he's not really going to know until we get in a real game. But I feel like he's in great shape. He's been contacting about as good as anybody out on the practice field, so I feel confident that he'll be ready to go week one.
Yeah, he's not going to play in the preseason. So even if Le'Veon Bell wants to play, he played in the green and white scrimmage. Yeah, so he's not going to give it a go. There will be no Le'Veon Bell lining up for the Jets in the preseason. Taz, we talked about before with Frank Gore, remember last year down in Miami with the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Gase didn't want to play Gore.
Yep.
Gore talked himself into a game. He played one series, and then he was out of the game. You know, this is even a younger running back. They have a lot invested in Le'Veon Bell. He looks like he's in great physical shape.
Sure.
We'll see whether or not he can take a hit. And I know where there's a difference between, you know, football shape and being in good shape.
Right, right, right.
So the Jets are not going to risk anything and have him play in what is, in essence, meaningless football, where it doesn't count against your record. Le'Veon Bell's not going to suit up for the Jets in the preseason.
Yeah, and I think it's a very smart move by the team to do that. And we just talked about them not making the smart move with Williamson by having him out. But with this year, you know, with Lev Bell, you got to. Especially the running back spot. We talked about it in the last segment, you know, how these guys are getting smashed up and all this stuff. The position's become a kind of a position where it's like they're not even, you know, you almost don't need them. It's almost such a passing league. But a guy like Lev Bell is so great out of the backfield as a receiver, you know, not just as a great running back, that you need this guy. He's such a dynamic football player and running back, halfback, and out of the backfield and the flats and stuff like that. He's legit. So I think it's smart by the Jets to do what they're doing.
I don't disagree. Let's head down to Philadelphia, shall we? Next, as Josh McCown is coming out of retirement, and he's going to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's McCown on going to Philly.
To have an opportunity to come to a place where they've had success, obviously recent success, and win a championship and be a part of that, and you know, just it was hard to, you know, hard to stay away from.
Well, yeah, he's getting a little north of $2 million too.
Yeah, he is getting that.
Can't blame him.
And Taz, here's where I'll look at it, where I give the Eagles credit. I don't think they're looking at Josh McCown as the quarterback. I think they're looking at Josh McCown as good for the quarterback's room.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. I
think
agree.
He's a guy that many remember. A couple years ago, the Browns, different coaching staff. I get it. But the Browns tried to hire McCown to be their quarterback coach.
Yep.
And he decided to stay with the Jets at the time. And, you know, the Jets reward him. He played. Then they gave him more money. I think if Josh McCown, he's got such a, there's such a respect for McCown across the National Football League. If he wants to coach, he's going to be able to find a job being a coach.
I agree.
So I think for the Eagles, they look at it as a case of, they lost Foles. Mm. They need to add to that room.
Yeah.
They've got Sudfeld. They know they've got their star quarterback. McCown doesn't mind not being the starter. He's there to help out the star quarterback and help him, and maybe help him, you know, continue to progress in Carson Wentz as the Eagles quarterback.
Hey, listen, we saw,
I think it's a smart move.
It's a very smart move. And we saw with the Jets how to utilize McCown last year with Sam Darnold to help him. He was like a father figure or a big brother, whatever you want to call it, to this kid, and helped him a lot and nurtured him and stuff like that. And you're right. I think that with the Eagles, okay, it's a great move having this guy in your QB room for sure. And they are banged up at that position a little bit, like to your point. So I think you want a guy like Josh McCown there for sure. And in a pinch, you need him. He knows what he's doing. So you get in the center or get in the shotgun and go.
Yeah, no ego either. If an injury does happen, you're right, he can play, Taz. But he's also a guy that doesn't mind, you know, he's getting paid well. I mean, it's not like he's making, you know, $20 a day.
Right.
So they're getting paid well, but he's got a ton of experience, played a lot of different places. It could be a guy that Wentz can lean on a little bit, aside from his quarterback coach and aside from his head coach.
Absolutely. And I know the other day, a couple days ago, he was sitting, Josh McCown, with the Eagles, second on the depth chart, right behind Wentz. Okay, they have five quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And he was sitting second. So, you know, I mean, because they're banged up. They got some young guys there. So he knows what he's doing. So, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's a smart move.
Let's head up to Seattle next. How about Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, the rookie? We know how, you know, physical he is, how good he was, you know, at Ole Miss, you know, down at in Oxford, Mississippi, dropped a little bit in the NFL draft. A lot of people looked at his route tree coming out of college, saying that he can't run all the different routes. He's kind of a one-trick pony if you watch his game film down at Ole Miss. But he's going to – we know how big of an athlete he is, Taz.
Muscular, big muscular guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's going to undergo – there's no timetable for his return. But he's undergoing what is labeled to be minor knee surgery. I don't know how minor knee surgery is, but we'll see when Metcalf is back on the field for the Seahawks.
I've had a couple of those minor knee operations. I've had two on my right knee and one on my left over my career. And they are kind of minor. You can, and that was years ago.
Like a couple weeks?
Yeah, a couple weeks. And they were scopes.
That's it.
They were scopes. I'm assuming he's getting an arthroscopic surgery. So, yeah, here's the thing, too. He's such a muscular guy, and is so in tune with his body, as all these athletes are, as you know. But a guy like this, he's into another level.
Okay.
Because how muscular he is. So the thing is, he'll recover super quick. I would be shocked if he's out more than 3 weeks. With a scope, you can get back pretty quick.
You can get back pretty quick.
I think so, yeah.
All right, so
I think he's sitting first on a depth chart for
them. He was having a pretty good camp, and they like the potential of what Metcalf can provide that offense. Now with Russell Wilson in tow at quarterback, signed to that long-term deal, staying in Seattle. And, scary scene with Paxton Lynch, their quarterback, who took in their preseason game against the Minnesota Vikings, took a massive helmet-to-helmet collision hit. Was it a defensive back or
a
linebacker?
It was a D-back, Hill.
Correct.
Young guy. That hit him. 22 years old. Yeah.
Helmet-to-helmet. Crown of the helmet, right? And you had the, if you've seen the slow-mo replay, it's even scarier in slow motion as well. Taz, nasty, thoughts obviously go to Lynch on recovery.
Yeah.
There's no surprise after witnessing that hit that he's in the concussion protocol, but that is what the former Denver Bronco is now for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, and the kid who hit him, I mean, he's just being ultra aggressive. He's trying to make the team. He's like dead last on their depth chart at that cornerback spot, Holton Hill. And he's just trying to make the team and lay a hit on someone, but he's got to be smart now because he came in straight forward your head with the crown of his helmet.
Yep.
Nasty shot, yeah. So we'll see how it works out for Paxton.
Now let's head up to New England next. We know that Josh Gordon is out of the concussion, is out of the suspension, right?
Yeah.
The suspension for using what was thought to be marijuana,
right?
So violating the drug policy for the National Football League. Here is Bill Belichick talking about his star wide receiver. Take a listen.
We're joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. Before I even talk about the first half, I do want to bring up Josh Gordon because you put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Okay. All right. Good luck in the second half.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. Well, I mean,
I'm good.
No, nothing else. I'll tell you, I'm happy to see Gordon back in the National Football League, Taz. It's a good thing for him. He clearly did what he needed to do for Commissioner Roger Goodell to prove that he was ready to get another shot in the NFL. He's missed a lot of time. He's still 28, 29 years of age, but that is a major shot in the arm for that Patriots offense, getting a playmaker like Gordon back at just 28, 29 years old.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you, I do think, and I hope I'm wrong, but I do think Brady and he and Gordon could make some magic. We saw glimpses of it last year. I mean, Brady has made stars out of receivers that no one even ever heard of. Okay, this is a guy who is an amazing, just freak of nature type athlete in Josh Gordon. You know, if he can keep his head on right, I feel like we said the same thing last year because this is kind of his character, Josh Gordon. So hopefully things are straightened out for him in his real life. And so once he's on the football field, he's something else. He's really, and you got a guy like Tom Brady throwing the ball at you. Wow. That's some duo right there if they could keep it going. So we'll see what happens with Gordon.
Yeah, Patriots are going to release Dontrell Inman after the reinstatement of Josh Gordon. Inman, who had 3 years removed from having 58 catches, 810 yards, and 4 touchdowns, did have 28 catches, 304 yards, and 3 scores a year ago for the Indianapolis Colts. He's no longer going to be a Patriot. He's asked for his release. They're going to grant him that release as Gordon is now a member of the Patriots once again.
Well, Moose, you remember, we had Dontrell in studio with us.
We did.
Nice guy and good player. He's
good
a good player. And he was sitting high up on their depth chart, too. So I guess they're making some moves. Hey, man, Dontrell, head up out to Buffalo, my man. Yeah.
Yeah, you can work.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck in the second half.
Yeah. Well, here's the one thing I would say about the question. I'm not going to be critical of anybody. Knowing Belichick, right? Do you think he's really going to add anything once they release the statement? Shouldn't you know better? As a reporter,
but that's why it's a work.
Well, but why not say, okay, instead of adding and say, you have anything else to add besides the statement, why not ask a question saying, is that such an open-ended question? You'd be like, no, that's why we issued a statement. And that's exactly what Belichick gave you. Why not ask the question of you know, what is Gordon going to provide this offense?
Right. That would be the right question. Let's just do it again.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. Before I even talk about the first half, I do want to bring up Josh Gordon because you put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Okay. All right. Good luck in the second half.
All right. Well,
yeah, but it's such a bad question.
It's a horrible question. I think the guy did it on purpose. He knew. To your point, he knew he was going to get this reaction.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Nope. Maybe it's a case of there's nothing Belichick is going to give you. It's kind of like the Popovich stuff. I get it. It's just such a terrible question that leads to such a kind of wise ass response from Belichick.
It's great.
Anything else you have to add? No, that's why we put up a statement, you idiot.
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Yeah. Okay. You should wait till we put out the statement,
dumbass. That's what you probably wanted to say.
I mean, I'm not trying to get on Steve Burton. I feel bad, but I mean, no.
I know.
No.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Anything else you'd like to add? No. I said everything I wanted to say in the statement. Oh, yeah. You know what? There was something else that our PR department cut out that I wanted to say right
now. That's so Belichick, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Actually, Bruce, what's the guy's name?
Steve.
Actually, Steve, you know what? You're right. There is something else I want to add. Right. Could you imagine? Belichick would never say anything
He doesn't want to give the media anything.
Nothing.
Anything that you're thinking about, anything.
Nothing. That's gimmick. That's his gimmick.
So there you have it.
All right.
Our trip to the campgrounds here on this Monday morning. A little Belichick, Gordon.
Gone camping, the campgrounds.
Camp.
Yeah, campground. The name works. Got a problem with the whole singing, you know.
No, I understand.
Sticks at me all the time.
We only got 2 weeks left.
And that's true.
And we're not going to be hitting the campgrounds during the regular season.
And the pork beans. Pork and beans.
No, I know. Pork beans.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one.
I don't know. It's kind of growing on me, this open.
Oh, man.
I like the music. I feel like I'm in Disney World.
No, the music is true. Yeah, absolutely. Getting French fries on Main Street.
Or no, I feel like I'm getting ready. Oh, sorry. I feel like I'm getting ready to go on the Rocky Mountain Railroad or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
yes, yeah. You know, what is that railroad? I know the railroad.
You know, what is it called?
I think Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain.
I'm a moose. I think the railroad. Big Thunder.
Is it the
one that goes around the whole thing, like if you want to just cool off, keep the kids cool?
Oh, no, I like that one, too.
That's the chill railroad.
No,
that's what they should call it.
I like that one. I like that one. That one's
nice. Let's go on the chill railroad. It's the chill railroad. You just go around. There's no line on that. The chill railroad, no line at all.
Yeah.
You just sit on there. I just sit my fat ass down and relax. Everything.
It's good for Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Ah, there it is. Mike was right.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. That's a good name. Big Thunder Jones. All right. Yeah, but you're right. The music does sound like that.
Right.
We should smell
like pretzels in the background.
French fries.
Yeah, that's it.
That'll be $20.
A little cotton candy.
Remember the French fries?
Yes, I remember. Yes, Main Street. Yes. McDonald's.
1987.
Right. It was 94. The Brett Gardner dugout antics continue. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose on a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. College football season is around the corner. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network's team of experts as they tackle the hottest topics on the gridiron. It's Inside College Football, the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
You know, Zach Zelp got caught up in the, he asked the question what a mark was. Like, he got into the whole, with the We Over Nation. Yeah.
Nice.
It was like, but then he started getting, he became like Comfy Jones. He got a little overstaying his welcome.
Then
there was like,
that's like red meat and potatoes for We Over Nation.
Mark it! Red meat and potatoes.
That is.
That's funny.
That's fun.
You're right. I mean, he's just throwing.
He bit, bro.
They were just.
And we over. That's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Right.
He said he went home.
Like
he took a nap
to the Lions.
After the show, he took a nap. He woke up and his Twitter was like.
Yeah, blew up.
Yeah, he had just like tons of like, everyone wanted to fight him and just beat him up. Yeah, so it was bad. Yeah, like it was bad.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. He means well.
Oh, he's a good kid. I like Zach. Zach's a good kid. He does a good job. But
Very tall.
He just did not know what a mark was. Is that what it was?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. You are a mark.
And then he was informed.
Well, yeah, well, I educated him. This is what happened. I educated him, and he called me a mark for Mikey B. He called me a mark. Me.
Oh.
And that caused a... Yeah, oh. Interesting. Wow.
Mark.
That was a problem.
Oh,
that's where the we over. Like,
yeah, that's
mark.
Where...
You can't call someone who's... got the skin in the game, mark. It's impossible. Because I was putting over Mikey B for something. What was it, Mike?
Play-by-play stuff we were playing.
Oh, we did a little side-by-side. I want to get Moose's... Let's get Moose's feel on this. We did a play-by-play thing where, you know, Mikey B's thing, the triple play.
Yeah, play-by-play Virginia.
Right, so what's his name? Zach Gelb. He did it.
Temple.
Temple football. Temple football against Penn State. They beat Penn State for the first time since 1974.
Yep.
And he screamed a lot on it. And then he got very competitive. So we did a side-by-side. We did a poll. He called all his friends at Temple. He won, Zach, the poll.
Crushed me.
Yeah, well, because he called his friends, and you called no one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so do you want to play? So
Mike's one friend was on vacation.
We'll get Andrew's to Andrew Bogus. Andrew, you try me.
The game is over! 74! No more! For the first time in 74 years! The Temple Owls have defeated the Nittany Lions of Penn State. Today, all the Temple alumni and the current Temple players and all the Temple fans can say, we are Temple and we have beat Penn State.
He's not done.
What a scene here at Lincoln Financial Field. The cherry and the white meet Penn State.
He's still going.
Final score, 27-10. This is for Bruce Arians. This is for Steve Joachim. This is for the Klecko family. Raheem Brock, Wayne Harden, and all the great Temple players of the past and current. The Temple Owls, led by head coach Matt Rhule, have done what many people once thought was the unthinkable. Now, it is reality. The Owls win. Owls win!
Oh, Owls
win!
Yankees win!
All right.
Yeah. The stadium was empty by the end of that.
Dude, it was like
guys sweeping up.
It was well done.
Well, it was good.
It was a lot.
And Mikey B was succinct. Right to the point. Boom. Let's see.
Here's the 1-1. It's a ground ball to Keith Werman. Scoops it up. Throws to first. It's perfection. Will Roberts has thrown a perfect game for the Cavaliers.
Done. That's it. Don't overstay your welcome.
This is for Raheem Brock.
What was the next thing? If you could go back, what was the next thing you said in your?
Yeah,
book?
I don't know if I could find. I can't find. That's the only clip
out.
I
you
can
left.
Find.
You left the press box.
But I did lay. I did lay out for a.
I got
you know,
a delivery man. I'll be back.
You did lay out though.
I'm sure I had to say something else after.
A little bit of a different. Like if you look at a little bit different. So Zach obviously had time to prepare. It was 27-10.
Right. Right.
So it's not like kind of they win on the last second
bang,
field
bang,
goal,
bang,
bang.
Bang.
Yeah. So he had time to kind of prepare his remarks.
It was prepared, bro.
And he prepared his remarks.
It was long.
When he's thanking families.
The Klecko families.
When he's thanking families, you know, when they're going to commercial break, he's writing stuff down. So Zach prepared his statements. Biseglia was kind of like, oh my God! It just happened.
He was in the moment.
That perfect game could go away in the blink of an eye.
That was funny. He prepared.
Right. He had it set up. He knew it was coming. It was 27-10. Was the final?
I know, exactly. You're right. It was a blowout.
It was
so. Mikey B was Bang Bang Jones. Yeah.
So when that game went final, probably the person who was most excited was probably Gelb. He was
Wayne Harden.
He was over-modulating because he was... That's what I tried to teach the kid.
The engineer needs to back down the microphone.
He was the engineer.
He was the engineer.
Oh, he was the engineer as well?
Gelb did everything.
I was the engineer for mine, too, just saying.
But it's also hard when you're
scream constantly?
When you're screaming into the mic, and then all of a sudden, hold on, let me check my levels.
He's also a loud guy to begin with.
Very loud, but we had Zook, the Zookster in here,
okay.
Right? So he broke it down, too. He agreed with me, Zook, because... You can't. That's part of. I learned that right away doing commentary. Right? There's a bit. I learned that from Vince McMahon, Jim Ross, when I was first breaking into that part of the business. There's a big difference between excitement and screaming.
Yeah.
Okay. And the great ones don't scream. You know, the great ones, like Mikey B, kind of similar but different.
Nope.
There's the voice crack.
Yes. Yeah, the great ones don't go through puberty.
The great ones do go through puberty. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just saying, I felt like Mikey's was more organic. And then they didn't dawn on me about the prepared statements. 27-10. Moose makes a good point.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was tied up. It was a field goal that won the game.
Right. Right. See,
it was actually pre-recorded.
If Gelb did that and it was like a last-second field goal and different just story. Came up with all that on the fly, that would be an amazing call.
True. That's a good point.
If he came out and he's thanking like families and Raheem Brock, Joe Klecko, and like everything.
This is for Bruce Arians. This is for Steve Joachim. This is for the Klecko family. Raheem Brock. Wayne Harden.
Wayne Harden.
Steve Joachim's like, I did what?
Steve Joachim.
What? I did what?
No. Oh my God. Oh, this is so funny.
What was the final tally
Zach
of the vote?
So mad when he hears this.
What was the final tally?
Won by like 62.
This is for me.
62-38.
62-38.
Bro, he calls everybody. So, every Temple grad, he
calls. Close.
Bro, no, blowout.
It was close, and then.
There's not many Virginia baseball fans
well,
out there.
I set the mic.
I didn't reach out to him. Gelb went online, and he was tweeting at players.
Tweeting,
I mean, he basically, he took his whole day, and it became, let me win this poll.
He really
Mine
did.
Was, I don't care.
No, he really did. He actually tweeted, Gelb, if you go look back, my call was better. Go vote. Like, that's what he, I mean, he was like,
all
really?
Class.
He wanted to win.
He really
he
wanted to win.
And he did.
I said, Mike, you got Syracuse alum you could call, you could contact. You got Virginia alum you could contact. Would Mikey be? No, I'm good. You know, Mike, he's like, I gotta go deliver like a ham sandwich to some guy
the
down
Owls
the road.
Win.
Like,
Owls win.
Zach and all that got a dude already doing Uber Eats.
Like, Mike just moved on. Right. Like, you know.
I was like,
I did.
Right. That was the first part of the day. Now on to delivering some Chinese food.
That's right. I had a lot of work to get done.
Right, exactly.
Well, have fun, Gal.
But Moose, this is why I was talking about you, because I'm like, well, I gotta talk with Moose. We gotta figure this out as a team. Now, do we put the Gelb call in along with Mikey B's in our 1v1 open? You know, 1v1 open, we have all the different play-by-play calls. We put Mikey B in there. Remember?
I would vote no.
You would vote no? I'm with you.
Nope.
Some might think maybe replace Mikey B with the winner, Gelb. No way.
You can't. That's
not fair.
Mikey's working his rear end off on a day in, day out basis.
No!
I should have brought that. My bad.
My bads are out the window.
That's all good.
Whatever. I'm just trying to be fair. You know how I am.
I'm
playing
fair.
Right. I'm just trying to be nice, but I feel bad for Gelb.
If Zach was here on a day in, day out basis.
He's not, though. But, bro, he's a very. Between you and me, he's very competitive and very sensitive, like hypersensitive.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, it must have been an interesting week.
It was going great. And then Friday, last couple segments, Mike, it was a little bit.
A little heel turn
by Taz. Yeah.
It's time to go home.
Yeah, it was time to go home at that point.
This is what happens when you throw two hypersensitive guys in one room.
I know, Mikey and
yes,
Gelb, you're right.
That's who I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. You are right.
All right, take it away.
You're right about that.
The Owls win!
Mike,
Owls
right,
win!
Right.
Owls
the vote
win.
Went off, Mike, at like 8:54 Eastern time. I was like, all right, on to my next thing.
Mike
I got to take
done.
Care of.
Mike was done.
Right, Gelb's like, here comes the attack.
I know.
It was pretty impressive. My Twitter feed was all these people. I'm like, it's okay, whatever.
Yeah, Mike was like, I just want to edit the podcast so I can get it up for Taz and the Moose, and we're good. Like that was his thing. He was just ready to move on.
Do my job.
After he did Owls win, and Zach threw to Susan for an on-field post-game interview.
Oh, he threw it to himself downstairs.
Susan was Matt Rhule.
Thanks, Zach.
Dude, it was unbelievable. He got really sensitive, man, because I saw then the next day, I broke it down for him what he did wrong. I gave one of these deals. Would you like my opinion? I'll give it to you right here on the radio. And I broke him down, bro. Like, broke it down. And he looked like.
I'm sure he enjoyed that.
Oh, man.
He quit after that.
Yeah, well, he 25 years old. I think he's in radio. I broke him down. Detailed, too.
I'm sure.
Dude, I'm talking about 5-minute breakdown.
As detailed as the bagel guy?
Yes. By the way,
did you see the thing with that guy? No, I did not.
That's okay. Bro, he's like he follows me. He took
Moose didn't see the picture. He's been on vacation. Oh, my God. No. This is funny. You and Andrew will crack up. Andrew, if you go to my Twitter, and by the way, when you run a Dunkin' Donuts, grab me the iced coffee. Hold on. I want more coffee.
What did he do?
Bro, you got to see it. Where the hell is it, Mike? I'm trying to find it here. Moose was going to crack up.
I think it's on your Twitter.
Okay, there you go. That's simple. Thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now. Maybe while Andrew's doing his update. Right, I'm under pressure right now. You got me pressured right here. You know me. I'm not good with pressure. You know that.
Take it away.
Interrupt me whenever you need, Ted.
I found it. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
So, Moose, look at this.
Pre-interruption.
That's me and him.
Oh, look at that.
Dude, I look like I'm one of the super machines. I look like I'm Andre. Look at the size of me next to this guy.
Yeah, you That's do. Him. He's a small guy.
So this is what happened, bro. This was, my son told me, he goes, Dad, I know when this is from. This is from like 4 years ago. He tweeted this little guy here. And he's like, he wants to get in WWE.
Okay.
I'm like, bro, stop. You know, you're 15 minutes in it, please, bro. And so I ran into this guy at a Greek takeout place in Deer Park, New York, which is Strong Island. And I'm stopping over there to get a little, a little tzatziki sauce and some pita bread. Yeah. I like that sometimes on a rainy day. And we stop in, and I run in there, and there's this little half-pint guy. He's like, hey, I'm like, whoa, easy, bro. Right? Easy. He's like, oh, I'm a huge fan. He starts breaking. I didn't remember any of this. And I tell my son, come here. This guy wants to take a picture. So he grabs the guy's phone, takes a picture, and that's the photo. Huge wrestling fan, and here I am on the radio ripping him.
Nice.
Ripping him. And I, unbeknownst to me, this guy actually met him. And he was up to my nipple. That's how small he was.
He is a small guy. You're right about that.
If you want, I can send you the picture. Fan. I can send it to you. You can tweet it out on yours if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a huge proponent. No, I follow that bagel story day in and day out.
The women in general
has it reached the Cayman Islands yet?
No. Nobody cares.
You're going to fart.
But that is fun. It's not surprising, though. It's not surprising that you ran into him in Long Island, though. That's not surprising. I like the king out there.
Thank you, brother.
You got it.
Thank you.
Bogus, go ahead.
Oh, thanks.
Might be the nicest thing you ever said to me.
What do you mean? That's very nice. That's not true. You are.
You call me the king of Strong Island, bro. That's really nice.
I call it Long Island.
Yeah, Guyland. And you said in, and you know it's not in. It's on. You know that. You're not in Long Island. You're on Long Island. It's an island.
Taz, it was a joke.
I know.
Let's go. Best regards, Taz. Thanks.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Thanks for
taking
it
all in stride.
Right. Welcome back.
Thank you, yes. Go ahead.
Raiders GM Mike Mayock has had enough of your Antonio Brown questions.
We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver.
Mayock issuing an ultimatum yesterday after Brown skipped the Raiders' final training camp practice. He said it's time for the wideout to be all in or all out since they have run out of options to get Brown in his preferred helmet, but AB's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, told a Miami TV station last night they are still looking for a solution. Congrats to Moose. Washington head coach Jay Gruden still has no idea when Colt McCoy will play again after last season's broken leg, so Case Keenum in line to start week one. And the Bears yesterday released kicker Elliott Fry, but that does not mean Eddie Pinheiro has won their kicking competition. On the field, the Seahawks losing in Minnesota last night, 25-19. Then head coach Pete Carroll announced that rookie wideout DK Metcalf needs knee surgery. The procedure apparently minor, but health issues are why Metcalf lasted until the second round of the draft. And the Saints beat the Chargers in L.A. 19-17. Sean Payton not completely happy with his starters.
I thought we played pretty good defense early in the game. I thought offensively we were awful.
Teddy Bridgewater started, not Drew Brees. Taysom Hill produced 16 second-half points to get the win. Anthony Rizzo, a two-run homer. Kyle Schwarber, a two-run single. Their Cubs handled the Pirates 7-1 at the Little League Classic in Williamsport last night. Chicago remains in a virtual tie with St. Louis atop the NL Central. The Cardinals held off the Reds yesterday afternoon 5-4. Also in the afternoon, drama in Tampa Bay.
Swinging a ground ball back up the middle in the center field for a base hit. Darnold goes. Here comes Adames. He scores. Rays win.
Somebody's copying Zach Gelb. 5-4. The win over the Tigers. Tampa Bay stays a game and a half ahead of the A's for the second wild card. Oakland took a 4-1 home loss from the Astros. And you might have forgotten
Hold
that.
On,
the...
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? It's drilling
it sounds
upstairs.
Like a wailing whale. It's like. Bruh. I mean, we're doing radio shows here. They're drilling.
Upstairs, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because upstairs,
I met the foreman
no one's here
downstairs,
yet.
Yeah.
You met the foreman?
Yeah.
He goes to Starbucks about 5 o'clock every morning.
All right.
He's in there, yeah. He's like, I'm sorry, guys. He goes, you guys hear it in the studio? I go, yeah, every day. He goes, oh, I'm sorry about that. Nothing we can do.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Got to be done by 9.
Nice guy, though.
Folks.
I'm sure. Huge Met and Jet fan.
Really? I should run into this fella. I'm never down there that early.
Yes.
I'll do it tomorrow when I'm getting your coffee. You might have forgotten that the Memphis Grizzlies own Dwight Howard's rights at the moment, but they are reportedly allowing Howard to talk with teams that might want to trade for him. The Lakers on that list because of DeMarcus Cousins' torn ACL. Back to you guys.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll get to Brett Gardner. A little Mikey B story. With his Uber Eats drive.
Yes, yeah, looking forward to that.
Oh, no doubt. It's
going to be a show
one.
Without plugging Mikey B's podcast. That's
what
we do.
It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On a Monday morning, we're going to chat with Ben Kirschenbaum a little bit later on in the program. College football analyst and reporter for CBS Sports will join us to close out the program about an hour from now. Mentioned it going to break, Taz, last week. I mean, I'm away for a week, and the Mikey B podcast continues to explode.
Oh, it's growing leaps and bounds. Basketball drives. And, it's the promotion for this podcast is getting to the point of nauseam. It's more promotion than Taz and a Moose Twitter podcast.
Well, he does a great job with it.
It's interesting you say that. You're right. He does. He does a great, technically, the technical end he does. His video work is spectacular.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's who knew he had these skills, Moose?
It's amazing.
I know, right? I was surprised.
What a man can do when properly motivated.
Fair.
Yeah. You're not kidding. But, anyway, let's digress.
It's a little troubling, though.
If we're going to go there, sure. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit troubling. I mean, you would think that, come on, you're reeling me in like this. You're doing this.
Good to have you back, Moose.
The Moose is just reeling. He's reeling me in, bro, like a big bass, like a big mouth bass.
Yes.
You're right, though. All kidding aside, the guy is, it's a little obnoxious what's going on with my
Same team. Work he does for our show, he does for his podcast.
Kind of.
I offered. I'll do more if you like. I'm happy to find some time in my day.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious.
Mike just brought some wood to the fire.
He sure did. But Mike, not for Mike. Shouldn't it be like that should have been, I mean, the platform here, getting you over to the star level at Moose and I for 2 years, much more than the old show did. Let's be honest.
I agree.
Okay, we've gotten you to become a big star, and then you're fixing the breakaway. Okay, to become a big podcaster with basketball drives, talking basketball while you're delivering food. And we promote it, okay, left and right, right and left. And shouldn't you have been doing these crazy slick videos for Taz and the Moose like you did for your stuff?
That is a really good question, a delicate question, and a complicated question.
But isn't it part of the rules?
Those are the rules!
I mean, right or wrong, isn't it?
I don't know the answer to that, honestly, because it's something where there's no etiquette to, like, you should teach yourself how to make videos.
Hold on, Mike. You're the producer of the show.
I understand that.
And you've been...
I haven't had a raise in 6 years. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Well, I can help you with that part.
So it's hard for me to be honest.
855.
It gets tough. It's a complicated answer.
Okay. Subtle. Complicate the answer. You just basically hit us over the head with a sledgehammer.
I've said this off the air. I'm more than happy to do some of these, and I will commit to it. I would like to do it.
Well, now put yourself in Moose and I's spot.
I completely get
after
it.
After the last comment, you're over here saying that you're making $2 an hour.
Well, it's more than that.
Let's give him more work, Moose.
No.
Let's work him more.
Yeah, right.
Work him more.
And anytime anybody has asked me to do something, I 100% always
do
it.
You do that. You do.
If you ask me to do it, I will do it. And I will.
Just like being around guys who want to play and work hard.
But at the same time, it's like part of me feels motivated to do something. I've never done anything for myself.
Oh, God.
So it feels good that way, and it's a release. It does feel nice. I've tried to get on the air here for a couple of years. The old boss didn't let me. So for my advantage, it feels nice to talk.
Now you found your voice.
I've been really happy. Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
And we have helped you find your voice.
Yes.
Wow.
And now you've taken off with your Uber Eats
Basketball Drives. That's cool.
Basketball Drives.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you rate it.
Wow. Yeah, the Taz Show, Taz and the Moose, Moose's stuff that he does.
Yeah, we promote
all the podcasts that you do, we promote it. We have to
get video work. You know who I got a text from when I was away?
Lee Mean?
No. Yes,
I don't know. Well, no, bro, I don't know.
No.
You said video? I thought Lee Mean.
Who? Oh, because you bring up video.
Oh.
Yeah. Robbie Rosenhaus.
Big Robbie Jones. Yeah.
Robbie Rosenhaus texted me.
Yeah.
He goes, I just hit the pick five at Toga. Meanwhile, I just got off the beach, right? I just hit the pick five at Toga, right? My phone's in the room, right, on the charger. I'm not like...
He didn't send you... I know his rapido text. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Yeah,
it was like, hey, how you doing? I just hit the pick five at Saratoga. That filly is a beast for Chad Brown. By the way, you should check out, I did a great video for Mikey B.
There you go. There it is.
Yes.
And here's the funny part.
Now, Robbie Rosenhaus is working for Mikey B doing videos for him?
Yeah, well, because then Mikey B...
Well, I can give a backstory to
Mikey B tweeted out...
What, are you sending him food?
No. Oh. I had on my podcast last week, there's somebody that worked here as a pizza delivery driver in high school. And on that drive, he ended up having a nice time, we'll say that, with a lady.
He met a lady while he was...
And there's a lot of scuttlebutt that it was Robbie Rosenhaus, so I need to clear the air. He sent me a video.
So Robbie,
I distorted the person's voice when I played back the interview.
So Robbie met a woman and they had an affair.
It's not Robbie.
Oh. Had an affair. It's 1975.
So Rosenhaus didn't deliver the pepperoni pizza?
I don't know, bro.
Rosenhaus.
Well, all I know is what this guy did here, Mikey B. He tweeted out, oh, look at that. I just got a follow from Robbie Rosenhaus or something like that. Next thing I know, Robbie's like a guest on his show or something. I just explained
what it is.
So then Rosenhaus did a video for you.
Yeah, he just did a video telling the audience it wasn't him.
Oh my God. Wow.
By the way, after he hit that pick five, he lost about 50 other races.
Thank you, Pete.
I hate people that text me.
Yes.
Rob, I hate people that text me when they win.
Yeah. Tell me when you lose all the other times. Yeah.
Right. I just hit the Monday Night Football parlay for $1,500.
It's not right. It's not right. Back to Mikey Beto, Moose. It's not, you got me thinking. You're right what you were saying. You know, it's not right what's going on.
Well, last week when I was away, I guess you delivered, what happened? Cookies.
Yeah, to one of the
I delivered
Giants.
Cookies to John Jenkins of the New York Football
that
Giants.
That was a segment on the show, too. Show.
And the order was wrong. So I went to Giants camp yesterday to correct my sin.
And you bought cookies for him?
I did, yes.
Did he tip you?
He did not.
Oh, nice.
But he was in his pads. He just got out of practice. So it wasn't an ideal time for him to have his wallet.
So how did you exactly make the introduction?
I set it up through the Giants and explained everything to them.
Wow.
And they were cool about it.
So see what he's doing? He's using his context through our show with all the football teams.
So you contacted the Giants, sent him an email saying, I'm an Uber Eats driver, plus I produce National Sports Talk Radio, Taz and the Moose. Morning drive on CBS Sports Radio. I also deliver food on this side.
Yes.
I delivered cookies to John Jenkins improperly last week. It was the wrong order. I'd like to take time out of my Sunday to bring him the right soft batch of chocolate chip cookies.
M&M, but yes.
Next question.
Okay, so
that's an interesting
Sunday. I can see Pat Hanley get that request.
How did I go over with, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, he loved it. He said I was the hardest working person he's ever met in the media.
Well...
There you go.
I don't know about that, but anyway, so yeah, that's great.
Really, he couldn't have been nicer.
Everybody's nice. I'm nice too. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. Let me ask you a question. When is Jenkins going to be on your podcast? You're going to have him on soon, right?
Yeah, tomorrow it airs.
Okay, so here's the problem, Moose. So he gets in touch with Jenkins from the Giants.
Yeah,
you see where I'm going. Instead of Jenkins being a guest on Taz and the Moose, he's a guest on the podcast. See, that's called a conflict of interest. You used us as, like, I want to curse a lot right now. The words I want to say that we feel
so
like.
So the bottom
right
line here is I should stop doing anything for myself. God forbid I do something nice for Mike Bisseglia at age 36.
That's correct.
Got it.
He's bottom line now, like what's the Mayock?
That is correct.
Like AB and Mayock.
Do nothing for yourself.
So now Mike got mad.
And now he's bothered.
He's stay bothered all he wants.
Well, come back. We got the three for you. It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning at CBS Sports Radio.